Today, I'm continuing a sermon series on the deceiver, and it's going to go on for at least through next Sunday, and I'm not sure if it'll go on for a couple more weeks. We'll see how the Lord leads me in that, but I want to, if you would, turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. I'll turn in mine as well here. Gospel of Matthew chapter 4. And this is the scripture that I also read last week, but I'll refer to some other scripture here in this message. Beginning here, chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Now, before I get too much into this, I have found that in some polls, there's all kinds of polls out there, but some polls that will generally say that 90% of Christians believe in heaven. But what about the other 10%? Why don't they believe in heaven? I mean, it's in Scripture. God has provided a kingdom for us, many rooms for us. And if he was not going to, he wouldn't have told us. But he has told us that he provides a place for us in heaven. And then there's the other thing that we're, you know, concerning hell itself, that there's a number of Christians. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Christians, those who profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, about 50%. Believe that there's a hell. I don't understand that. Why isn't that 100%? Because in scriptures, it tells us that God will separate the wheat from the chaff, and the chaff will be cast into the eternal lake of fire. And so there are some who even think that there's not even a Satan. Now, was Jesus just making this up? We hear from God that there is no lie in God. He's not somehow hallucinating this story. This is a real Satan who has approached Jesus and tested him and tempted him and seeks to deceive him in his weakest point of 40 days of fasting. Not at the beginning, but at the very end. This is where he appears. Satan has no real power, folks. His power only resides in deception. His power only resides in lies. His power only derives in deceitfulness and lies and temptation. That's it. He only has power that we give him, but he is real. Now, shared with you this last week, but Amy and I, very early in our marriage, basic newlyweds, we went down to her parents for a vacation and to visit family. They live in Florida, and Shalimar was where Amy spent many of her years growing up, and they lived there for many years. And while we were there, we went into a store, and this was the time where they had those 3D puzzles out. Do y'all remember the 3D puzzles? And the 3D puzzles were in the store, and I was trying to figure it out. It just seemed like a jumbled mess, and I couldn't make heads or tails of anything. I couldn't see anything, and Amy and other strangers that were around going, "That's a tiger, and that's a giraffe. I mean, that's neat, cool," and all this kind of stuff. And I'm staring at this thing, this picture, for 30 minutes, and I don't see anything. And Amy says, "Just look past it. You'll get it." And so for even a few more minutes, I keep staring and trying to get my eyes to work, and I don't see anything. And I think, this is a hoax. This is fake. Everybody just thinks that there's something there and make believe. And it's just like this pet rock thing where you just kind of act like this pet rock eats and moves about and exists and lives. It's just a hoax that everybody's just saying what they think, you know, sounds good that they see. 10 years later, I'm very sleepy, and I look at one of these pictures, and all of a sudden, my eyes can't focus, and that's exactly what you need. And there comes a Ferris wheel in the picture, and I went, "Oh, it is real." You see, one of the big deceptions of Satan to begin with is just to tell the world that he doesn't exist, that he's not there trying to deceive you, that he's not there trying to tell you lies. But that's one of the big deceptions, is just to tell you he doesn't exist, because that's success for him. See, Jesus didn't imagine that there was somebody there deceiving him. It was real, but he had no power over him. It says to us here that Satan says, "If you will bow down and worship me," that's what he wants. He wants us to worship Satan. But Jesus says, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." In essence, Jesus gave us one of the answers, one of the ways into thwarting Satan. He has no power over you and me. No real power. If he did, he could have destroyed Jesus then and there. But he had no power. It was just deception, just temptation, just lies. And all Jesus had to say is, "Depart from me." And that's all you and I have to say. "Depart from me, Satan. I choose to follow Jesus. I choose to follow the righteousness of Jesus. I choose the one who has real power over sin and death. I choose the one who has power to separate the wheat from the chaff. I choose to follow the one who can receive me into the kingdom of heaven, where I can reside in his joy forever and ever and ever." Satan seeks to convince you and the whole world that there is no sin. And sin, at its basic, is just this: separation from God, disobedience to the will of God. That's it. Put in all these things you may say, that is it in its purest form. What sin is separation from God, and anything that separates us from God. His deception, Satan's deception, is to let us burn from within. And I'm not talking about that burning that's like the Holy Spirit, burning and burning in us in a good way. I'm talking about that destructive nature, to destroy ourselves with the destructive effects of sin itself, to destroy families, to destroy our church. I use that as God's church, but I'm talking about right here. To destroy the church universal. To destroy our community. To destroy the structures that are in place that uphold God's holy word. Satan wants to destroy all of those things. Because that's how he's trying to win. By deception, by deceiving us about reality in Christ Jesus. Jesus knew this. He knew that Satan, all he wanted to do was just get Jesus to sin one little time, and that would destroy salvation for the whole world. Because he could not have been perfect and without sin to be redeemed, to redeem all of humankind. Now there's this place called Centralia, Pennsylvania. Any of you ever heard of Centralia, Pennsylvania? It's probably in middle Pennsylvania, but it was known for a coal mine that was there for a number of years. Well, it's still there. It's just not a productive coal mine. They had about 1,500 residents in 1962, and mine had been in place for a number of generations. And the mine was basically kind of shut down at this point. But they had a police department. They had a fire department. They had a school system. They had churches. They had grocery stores. They had what you would consider we have here in Elberton, they had in Centralia. Maybe a little less since it was just 1,500 residents. But they had homes and parks and playgrounds and all that kind of thing. And all in place, and doctors, and so on and so forth. They had all of those things. And one day, the town decided, hey, our trash is getting, heaped up. And as some towns did then, they'd go off and burn their trash. We don't do that so much anymore unless it's kind of done through some kind of plant or something. But they said, well, where can we put it? Let's put it in the mine and we'll burn it there. And so they burned that trash, and the fire department then put it out after it burned a while and thought that's good enough. And 2 weeks later, the fire came back and the fire department was called out to put the fire out. They put the fire out, and 2 weeks later, the fire came back again. What had happened is all the coal that had stretched through the miles of the coal mine, the veins of it, had caught fire. And so it just continued to burn and burn. And they couldn't put it out. Do you know how long that fire is going to burn? 250 years, it is predicted, estimated to burn for the next 250 more years. From right now. Well, what happened to the town? There's no more schools there. But what? There were 1,500 residents. How many residents do you think live there now? It said five. Count them, five. Five. And where they live has to be in an area where the heat and the gases aren't permeating from the ground that's 300 feet below ground. And some places where the ground is hot and warm, and it's dangerous. There's no more schools. There's no more fire department. There's no more police. There are no more churches there. There's none of that. It has been destroyed. Y'all, that is what Satan wants to do to the church, wants to do to our church here, that wants to do to all the churches in this community and around the world, to those that profess Christ. He wants to see them destroyed. And the way he wants to destroy it is with unrepentant sin. That if we in our hearts do not repent of our sin, we let sin fester in us. And it can destroy us, and it can destroy our families, and it can destroy our church and the fabric of this community. And it just will permeate in us and out of us. And God instead wants to do something different. He wants to offer his grace and his love and his mercy and let that blossom from us. The deception of Satan is to devour. What is the effect of sin itself? The Old Testament gives us an answer. And this is a familiar text, I think, to you from Exodus chapter 20. Well, Exodus chapter 20, is where the Ten Commandments are. But I want to read one of these. Exodus 20, verse 5 and 6. Hear God's word here. "You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generation of those who love me and keep my commandments." So when hate is used in Scripture, it's saying to those who want to be disobedient, to those who do not trust God's holy word, to those who want to revel in sin or call it not sin, to those who want to be unbelievers or in disbelief or complete doubt. That is what God is saying there. Now, when I look at this church, and I've seen it in other churches as well, there's usually one or two or three people in every church that is a matriarch or a patriarch of that church, that because of their faithfulness, the church has blossomed and grown and been established. Now, I'm going to embarrass somebody here today, but that's all right. I think of that as Miss Mary here. And because of her faith, established faith with her family and extended in this church. When I first got here, she was the first person, and I would see her greeting everybody every Sunday to make everybody feel welcome. She's not perfect, I know that. But because of her faithfulness, this church is established in this community as well from the faithfulness of matriarchs and patriarchs before. And because of that, she has sought and God has sought to make this place a place to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. He will show his love. But what if these matriarchs and patriarchs of the past had determined in their own heart to say, "I will not follow. I will not follow Jesus. I will not follow the Word of God." And that they had been deceived, where would the church be today? It would not be established, would it? It would falter and fail. And the church needs you so that the church does not falter and fail, so that it will blossom for generations unto a thousand generations. And we cannot let unrepentant sin fester in us to destroy what God wants to blossom. And remember, Satan has no real power over you and me. We do not need to fear him. Jesus did not fear Satan. He sought to follow the word of God. We need to fear God, don't we? And his word, and respect his word, and want to follow him. The deception of Satan is to devour the church, to devour families, to devour its people. And not just for this generation, but for generations to come. And I use the word devour because the scriptures use the word devour. It's in there. Look it up. Devour. We need to remember Satan has no real power over us. It's only what we give him to deceive, to tempt, to lie, to ensnare you and me. But just as those fires burn deep within the coal mine, on the surface, everything seemed fine, but deep within was all the damage taking place that eventually it permeated out. That's like with unrepentant sin and our falling for the deception that it's not really hurting anyone or anything or even ourselves, but really unrepentant sin does hurt and harm. And just as it says to the third and fourth generation, God will punish, is saying to us, the effects of sin, it will travel. It will be destructive. But the love of God can change all of that. The grace of God, and to those who will follow Him, it can change all of that. There's another piece of scripture, but I can see that if I get to it, I'm going to go for another 10 or 15 minutes. I'll share it with you next week. But the thing is Jesus is so ready to forgive you and me, to blossom our church. And just as He was tempted of Satan to throw Himself down, He didn't fall for it. Because He knew he must die on the cross at the appointed time of Passover and become the sacrificial lamb for you and me for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus didn't die because there was no sin. Jesus died because there is sin and death, so that He can forgive us and show His power over it. And He just says, use that same power that I have. Depart from me, Satan. Get thee behind me. Don't fear him. You have power over Satan. We can be victorious through Jesus Christ and be a blessing for generation, for 1,000 generations in this place. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. We thank You for Your blessings upon us. Search us. Search our hearts. Let not unrepentant sin fester and devour us. But let us choose to repent and follow You and be a blessing for generations and generations as You intend for us to be. And help us to thirst for Your righteousness. Forgive us, O God, as a church. Forgive us, O God, as fathers and mothers, as parents, families. Forgive us as individuals. Forgive us where we have not sought the forgiveness of sin. Forgive us where we have let the deceiver influence us. And let us now, O Heavenly Father, follow You in fullness, in truth, in love and grace and mercy all the days. Amen.